You know, I read an article a couple weeks ago about strange things that members, church members, say to their pastors. One lady walked up to her pastor and said this. Go to our first slide. Will you bless me divorcing my husband so I can marry a convicted murderer? God told me to do it. I'm sure God speaks like that to people. After surgery, a church member asked their pastor this. Pastor, will you pray for me to pass gas? Hopefully there was a spontaneous response to that prayer. Another person asked the pastor this question. I want you to come see my display of nude art. And what the pastor did. I remember once I was in the narthex getting ready to preach, and one of you came up to me and said this. Pastor, the toilet is overflowing. And at least it wasn't the woman's pastor. The woman's restroom. Once when the collection envelope was going around for the pastor appreciation gift, that gracious gift you give us every year, the envelope was going around, and when it came to this one person, I won't say who the name is, they turned to me and said, Pastor, do you have change for a dollar? So after 14 years, it's time for a sabbatical. And so the church has granted me a 6-week sabbatical starting at the end of July. And so me to take a break, and basically it means I won't be preaching for 6 weeks. Don't get excited. And I won't be coming to the office, but I'm available to meet with you, pray with you, visit with you in the hospital. I'm doing all that. It's just a little break for me. And one thing I'm really going to do is go worship with my children and my grandchildren, because I don't get to do that anymore. But I'll also be finishing the Start to Follow class. So everything's going to continue. Pastor Michael, Pastor Steve will pick up a lot of the slack. You know, oftentimes, after preaching a 30-minute sermon, pastors experience an interesting thing. People come up, members come up to them and preach a 30-second message to them. Something like this. Pastor, on the way to church, I drove by an apartment complex and I see these poor kids out there wearing rags. You know, they are so poor. Pastor, you need to start a ministry and go minister to that group of people because there's this need. And if you say something like that to me, I'll say, gee, God gave you the burden. God let you see the need. I didn't see it. It's your burden and not mine. And that's what I want to talk to you today. When God gives you a burden. And I want to go to Nehemiah in the Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 1 in your bulletin. The nation of Israel sinned against God. They were conquered by the Babylonians, taken away to Babylon. Soon the Babylonians were conquered by the Persians. And here we find Nehemiah, verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev in the 12th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah and with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem, because Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Babylonians. Verse 3, they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted before the God of heaven. The city of Jerusalem, Nehemiah's homeland, was destroyed. There were no walls left. There were gaps in the wall. The fortification was non-existent. They burned the gates because, you know, lumber is not that readily accessible in the Middle East. You know, there's no big trees like we have it up north. The city was vulnerable. The people were vulnerable. Not only that, the city of God was a disgrace. It had been pillaged and burnt and destroyed, and all Nehemiah could do was weep. He was so sad when he heard the news. He was moved to his core with grief and sadness. So when God gives you a burden, what do you do? What is a burden? Number one on your outline says this, burden. The burden I'm talking about is when God calls you to action. God calls you to action. When God calls you, He lays a burden on your heart. We call it a burden because it weighs heavy on your soul. It's a burden because it will require you to do tangible actions on your part to resolve the problem or to meet the need or to solve an issue in your own life. It will require a sacrifice of time, energy, and maybe some material possessions. God laid burdens on our hearts all the time. And God was calling Nehemiah to act. That's why he felt that way. When he heard the news, that's why he felt that way, because he felt this tremendous burden on his heart. God's saying to Nehemiah, you be my instrument of righteousness to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. You be my instruments of righteousness to bring the people back to God. And he wasn't even in Jerusalem. He's out far, you know, where probably Iran is today, versus the Middle East in Jerusalem. What burden has God laid on your heart lately? Has God let you see someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ and he's saying, go share the gospel with them? Maybe God let you see a need, someone in your school who's lonely or has no friends, and God says, you know, don't you feel bad for that person? I want you to go be their friend. Maybe God's saying to you, puts a burden on your heart that you need to forgive someone who has sinned against you. You need to act. We know it's from God, because if we fulfill this calling, it will bring glory to God, or it will do good for others in God's name. So it starts with a burden. God lays a burden on our heart, but God wants to turn it into a blessing. As you serve God, as you meet needs, as you share the gospel, as you show kindness and grace, the joy of serving God will fill your heart, and the joy of seeing a life transformed will transform you. You'll become stronger spiritually. You'll grow in Christ. Now, if we look at our second thought here, we see that burdens reveal themselves in two ways. First, it may stir my head. I see the challenge. You know, a lot of people up in McNary, up at the Indian Reservation today, because I think they just, when they heard about going up and doing this ministry, it just touched them up here. Oh, I want to try that. I want to see if God can use me. And I see the challenge, and I want to rise to that challenge. I see a need. Maybe you see needs around you, and you know, I can fix that problem. It wouldn't be too hard. Don't overthink it. Don't think, well, does God really want me to do it? No, if you see a need and you know you can easily meet it, God wants you to rise to the challenge and take a step of faith and meet the need. But the question is, will you rise to the challenge? You know, our church supports Operation Care Food Bank, but we didn't do it all the time. And when I had met with the people and they told me about the problems they're having at Operation Care, about raising money, whether they'll even exist for another year, I could just feel God saying, hey, you can help them. You know, I was thinking to myself, it stirred my mind, started my mind thinking, you know, they needed to be organized as a entity, as a corporation, as a nonprofit entity. And so they needed a federal identification number. They needed to be qualified as a nonprofit corporation before the IRS. They needed an Arizona Charitable Organization exemption. And I thought, well, that's what I did for a living for 30 years. I already have the skills. I helped them, and they're more stable because I just rose to the challenge. All of you already have skills. All of you have knowledge. You can cook. You can drive. You can fix a car. Maybe you can sew. Maybe you can fish. Maybe you can mow a lawn. Maybe you know how to use computers. You have skills. God wants to call you to use them to help somebody else. You see the need, and you see the challenge. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should not only look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. How do we see the challenge? We look for the interest towards the interests of others. We don't just look at ourselves. We don't keep our resources, our energy, our time just for ourselves. God wants you to share it. So I encourage you, see the challenge. God's already equipped you to help people. You just have to be willing to look around and act. Now, the second way God stirs our challenge is it stirs my heart. Now, up here it's intellectual. In my heart, I feel compassion. Matthew 9:36, talking about Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, and the Lord of the harvest, therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus could see these people coming to him, and it's so sad. They didn't know how to walk with God. They were sick. They were poor. They were hungry. They were thirsty. Oftentimes, the burden God gives us hits us right in the heart. You know, you see a picture on TV, it hits you right in the heart. When I see someone yelling at their kids or screaming at someone, I feel bad for that person who's being yelled at. You feel compassion in the pit of your stomach. It weighs heavy on your mind. You can't stop thinking about it because God has laid a burden on you. He's asking you, what will you do about it? I was in a parking lot driving my car through a parking lot once, and I drive by this car with you can already see the jack out, and I see this flat tire in this car. There's this young pregnant lady, a young mother-to-be. Well, she actually was a mother. She had a little kid next to her, and she was pregnant, and she's holding the lug wrench trying to figure out which end is the right end to use. And I saw that, and I thought, man, I felt sorry for her. I thought, that could be my daughter. So I just drove off and got out as fast as I could out of there. No, I stopped. And I said, I will help you. I changed her tire and sent her on her way. I wanted to drive off, but I didn't. If your heart belongs to God, He will lay burdens on your heart from time to time, calling on you to act. If you never feel or see any need, if you've never been burdened by God, I wonder if your heart belongs to God. If your heart belongs to God, He will lay burdens on your heart from time to time. If you feel nothing, if you don't see any need and feel nothing, does God belong to your heart? See, if God belongs, if you give your heart to God, He'll give you a mission. It's as clear as day in Scripture. So if we see a burden, we feel a burden for someone or something, how do we respond to it? Which is our third point. How do we respond to God's calling? You've heard the phrase, don't pass the buck. Well, don't pass the burden to someone else. A couple of weeks ago, I was walking through the narthex, because this is Adventure City on during the week. We have all sorts of interesting people come by. And as I was walking by, I saw this homeless man, and he's like staggering to stay up, and he's walking through the lawn, and he's just trying to reach the shade because he looks like he's sweating. And then he gets to the shade, and he just, boom, face plants himself face down in the grass. And he's moving, so I know he's not dead. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, great. Just what I need. It's almost quitting time, you know? I'm almost ready to go home. Just what I need. So I went over to Pastor Michael. I said, hey, Pastor Michael, there's a man outside who wants to join your congregation. So why don't you go out and talk with him? He's like, really? He still believes me at this point. Really? Okay. And he's like, oh, really? No. We helped him. We talked to him. See, when the Lord gives you a burden for a cause or a need, it is your burden. And it's non-transferable. God touched you. God touched your head. God touched your heart. That means if He already asked you and called you, you already have the ability to serve. You just have to be willing. You know, some people come up to me and I know they have good intentions, so don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing anybody because I'm guilty of passing the burden myself. But someone will come up to me and say, well, I'm not sure if my father's a believer or not. I need you to go talk to my father and convince him to become a Christian. I'm like, I don't even know your father. That's your burden, not mine. But I'll help you. Why don't you arrange a meal? Ask your dad out for a meal and invite me to come. The three of us can sit for a meal and we can talk. And we'll see where God leads us. You know, you take the initiative. You make the appointment and I will be there. And I prefer steak or lobster if any of you want to invite me to a meal. Just so you know. Sometimes people come and say, hey, we need a van ministry. We need to pick up people to bring them to church. I'm like, we already do that right now. I have people picking up people. But we need an organized van ministry. I'm like, God's called you to take the initiative, to lead. If you see the need, God has given you the burden. The church will help you. We'll come alongside you. We want to work with you. But if God's given you the burden, you take the initiative. So what do? The first thing you do is you say yes to God. Isaiah 6:8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Isaiah was called, and Isaiah was like, send me, send me. I want to go. Here I am. Send me. Use me, God. Use me. God doesn't want to hear, here I am. Send Pastor Terry. You know, send Larry to do it. You know, send somebody else. I'm here for you, God, but send somebody else. No, God wants you to say yes. See, when God calls, if we have that right relationship with God, our response should be eager. Yeah? Really? Where? We should be excited to serve. After all, God called you. God chose you. Can you see when God calls you the opportunity to transform a life? Can you see the potential to see someone saved? Can you see someone lifted out of abuse or darkness or depression? We should be eager and willing to serve because God called you. If you can't see the opportunity, if you're not excited, if you're not eager to serve God, that burden will become a real burden. It'll become a pain in the neck. It'll be a millstone because your attitude is all wrong. That burden will become, instead of becoming a blessing God wants it to become, you will lose your joy. That's why we have to say, yes, God, yes. You know? So the second thing we need to do is talk to God about it. So let's go back to Nehemiah verse 5. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant of love to those who love Him and obey His commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants. He's praying day and night. He glorifies God. He's praying day and night. Your servants are people of God. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. First thing he does, he talks to God. You have to talk to God. Before you make any decision, you got to spend some time talking to God. You feel a burden? You talk to God about your calling. God, what is the need? God, what do you want me to do? God, I need wisdom. I need direction. I need to learn what your heart is about this matter, God. Why do you care about it? So I can care about it too. Nehemiah prayed and he fasted for days before he made any decision. He confessed his sins. He admitted that God was God and he was not. And now he's willing to be used by God. He was focused on talking to God and he was focused on listening to God. That means we have to read his word as we pray. When we pray like this, we remove the distractions from our lives. We can hear the voice of God because we are willing to hear it and obey it. Sometimes the Spirit will move us in a certain direction. Sometimes a scripture verse will leap out at us. Sometimes a song we're singing in praise to God will speak to us. Sometimes another person will come along us and spur us or encourage us or inspire us. We ask others to come with us for wisdom and prayer. So we say yes to God, and then we talk to God. The third thing we do is we have to claim God's promise. We have to claim a promise of God. Verse 8, remember the instructions you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations, which they were scattered. Verse 9, but if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are in the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and your great power. The power to accomplish great things in your life is directly tied to one of God's promises. There are 7,000 promises in the Word of God. All answered prayer is based on God's promise. If God is not answering your prayers, you're not praying according to one of His promises. You don't even know what His promises are. How can He answer your prayer? That's why you need to know Scripture. That's why your prayers have to be matched by your study of Scripture. The more you pray, the more you have to study God's Word. For example, if God calls you, you know You are supposed to forgive someone. Maybe someone in your family that hurts you and you haven't talked in years, or you have animosity to. God calls you to forgive. He lays that burden. How do you know it's a burden? Because you keep thinking about that person over and over every day. But you say to God, God, that's impossible. I can't forgive that person. He or she really hurt me. Well, God's promise is that we will have the power to forgive if we have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you know you've been forgiven by Christ of your sins, you have the power to forgive. See, we have to claim the promise to have the power to accomplish, to relieve the burden. You can go and forgive and release that burden from your soul. You have to claim a promise of God. Nehemiah knew the people sinned against God. They were in a foreign land because of their own fault, because they worshiped idols, because they had sinned. There was no one to blame but themselves. But he also knew God's promise. If they repented and returned to him, God would restore them back into their homeland, into Israel, back to Jerusalem. Nehemiah was claiming that promise. Today, because of God's promise, the nation of Israel is still in their homeland. After all these other nations, Babylon, Persians, and the Greeks, they conquered entire continents, have all faded away. This tiny little nation still remains because of God's promise. If you don't know any promises, you can't ask for anything. Then our next thing we need to do is form a plan of action. Nehemiah verse 11. O Lord, let your ears be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. So Nehemiah, after praying for days, talking to God, he had a plan. He was the cupbearer to the king. You know, that's theoretically the one who tastes the wine to make sure it's not poison before you give it to the king. But it was an honor to be a cupbearer. That gave you access to the king. And Nehemiah's plan was to ask the king, Artaxerxes, permission to travel to Jerusalem to rebuild his city, the ruins, the walls, the gates. He needed money. He needed raw materials. He needed a letter of authority. He needed a cavalry regiment. He asked for a lot. And you understand this king is not Jewish. He's a conqueror. He's a Persian. He's a pagan. And Nehemiah is going to ask him all this stuff. And this was the plan. If he offended the king would just say, off with your head. What are you asking? You know, are you crazy? But it's interesting. God touched the heart of the king to make him receptive. See, maybe God has put someone on your heart. You don't know what's going on with this person's life, but you know they're hurting. That you can look by the look on their face when you hear them talk on their cell phone next to you. They're hurting about something. God says you need to help that person. You don't know what to do. What can I do, God? I'm shy. I don't want to talk to them. Well, you know, your plan could be simply, hey, let's go to lunch. Hey, what are you doing for lunch? Hey, let's go sit during the lunch hour in the lunchroom, eating of the lunch we brought from home. Let's just talk, you know, let's just talk. Because if you spend time with people serving them, they will share what their need is. They will tell you how you can serve them. So we need to set plans. We need to be specific. We need to set timetables. We need to set dates of action. Because God doesn't want us to wait. He wants us to act now. We need to determine what the need is. We need to ask for help from the pastor and for other members. If you have a goal, a plan, a burden, let's share it. We'll work with you. I was watching a mission story last year during Vacation Bible School, a video of a teenage girl who visited Africa and saw this village with no school. This village was so poor they had no school. She really felt a burden on her heart that this school, these kids had no education, no schooling, no place to go to school. So she had this burden. And so she had a plan to raise money to build a school. She wanted to build a school, and then she built the school. She had a plan, she raised the money, built the school, and then she realized that school needs funding every year to pay teachers and buy supplies and stuff. So she had another plan. God inspired her, and she decided to open a thrift store. a nonprofit thrift store, and people started donating goods. She would sell it. And so year after year, she would work the thrift store, raise money to send it to Africa to build a school and fund a school and pay for teachers. And I think, man, that's just a teenage girl. But a teenage girl who was inspired by God, and a teenage girl who said, here I am, God, send me. You know, not just a school, but a Christian school to spread the gospel and touch life. God blessed her plan, and the school was built. God blessed Nehemiah's plan because God was doing it. And Nehemiah was doing it for God's glory and the good of his people. He blessed his plan. He accomplished it. What plan do you have? What burden do you have? Will it bring glory to God? Will it be do good for another person? Have faith. Form a plan. Take a step of faith. Then the last thing we see is go and do the work. Everything up to this point is just theory. Okay? Everything up to this point is just prayer. Now you got to go do the work. You go from prayer to the promise to the plan, and then you go and do the work. Now you don't have to make it complicated. Like I said, maybe you're just going to have lunch with someone. If you read the book of Nehemiah, you find out that the king gave him everything he asked for, including a cavalry detachment, a squad, or what do you call them? A bunch of cavalry people on horses. Because Nehemiah was faithful. Because God touched the hearts of the people along the way. Now, Nehemiah would take years doing this. And he went and he rebuilt Jerusalem. He brought the people back to God. It was not easy. There were people in his way. But he persisted and was blessed. You know, that land, eventually, Jesus Christ would step on that land 400 years later. Jesus Christ would come and bring the gospel because Nehemiah had faith, followed the plan. See, when God calls you, when he puts a burden on your heart, you must move in unison with your prayers. You must move in unison with God's promise and do the work or do what God calls us to do. I've served as your pastor for 14 years. Seems like just yesterday. But when I became, as you remember, when I became pastor of this church, the previous years before me were not happy. Let's just put it that. Not always happy. We had had in 4-year period, 2 pastors and 2 associates leave our church in a 4-year period. So we were kind of a hurting church, you know. And when I became pastor, I wanted to serve. I wanted to do all sorts of stuff. But I had this burden. I had a burden about how the pastors that had been at our church had left. And they didn't leave under good terms. You know, there was tension, there was pain, there was bitterness. And that happens when we work together. And I felt a burden to bring about reconciliation with those pastors. I didn't want to go to heaven with these pastors with some bitterness in our hearts. So I didn't think our church could move forward healthy-wise in a healthy way until we brought about healing. And this was a burden. God gave it to me, so I kept it to myself, and I prayed about it. And I prayed about it, and my plan was simply to watch for any opportunity to talk with these pastors, to invite them and come preach in our pulpit, which many did, to help them in any way. One needed help with one of his kids, and we as a church helped them. I also asked them for advice. Because if you ask someone for advice, that means you acknowledge their wisdom, you know, and you're respecting them. And I did all this because I didn't want any hard feelings to remain. I didn't want there to be any bitterness. And the way you do it is by loving someone and speaking encouragingly to them and appreciating them for what they did, even though we didn't see eye to eye. We are unified. We are united in Christ. And so when we celebrated our 25th anniversary, I invited all the pastors, interns, interims, associates, and this picture was taken go to our next slide. This picture was taken at our 25th anniversary. Thank you, Shamway, for finding this picture for me. And their wives, all the pastors that served at Northwest, even the ones that didn't leave under happy circumstances. And every time I see this picture, it gives me great joy. Because there was reconciliation, there was healing, even though we didn't run around and hug each other and all that. But there was respect and love. And so everyone on this picture has served as an interim, intern, an associate, a youth pastor. Everyone came. And it was a wonderful thing. That's actually what made the 25th anniversary wonderful for me. Because there was a burden. God gave me a burden. And we saw it through. We saw it through. And I know many of you have been maintaining contact with all our pastors and showed appreciation to you. Has God given you a burden? What are you going to do about it? Let's go to number 4. I want you to understand that God believes in you. God believes in you. Give God your heart and He will give you a mission. Don't give God your heart. He won't give you any missions. You won't do anything for the Lord. If He gives you a mission, He will enable you and empower you to accomplishment. God does not call people lightly. He calls those that He knows that can be faithful. He calls those that He knows are capable. You just have to believe in yourself. You have to believe in God. That's why He touched your heart. That's why you're the only one that feels this way. People come and share, I'm so excited about this. I'm like, I don't feel excited about it. Because God called you. He touched your heart. God chose you. Maybe God touched you and says, you need to join a small group because the small group needs help. The people there need someone to come in and love them and be their friend and to encourage them. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. God says, I chose you. You're in that workspace, in that cubicle that you hate day after day because I chose you to be there. And I want you to touch the lives around you. You know, where you're at in your neighborhood, where you're at school, God chose you. Go and make a difference. Go and transform a life. Go and produce spiritual fruit that will last for all eternity. When you get to heaven, well, people come up to you and say, well, thank you for blessing my life. Thank you for touching my life. Thank you for sharing the gospel. Thank you for giving me food. Thank you for your encouraging words. We want to build fruit for eternity. God says, I believe in you. Won't you believe in me? Won't you believe in yourself? I want you to experience the blessing. So today, as we get close to our invitation time or decision time, what burden has God been laying on your heart? You think about it for a while. What is God saying to you? Now, you know, God is wise. God is a good steward also. He's not going to ask you to do crazy things that contradict the Bible or anything like that. You know, we have to know God's heart and know the burden. What is God laying on your heart? Is He calling you to action? Talk to God about it. Tell God, whatever you want me to do, God, I'll do it. Let's talk. Let's pray about it together. The church will help you, but you need to act. You need to speak up. And so I encourage you today, brother or sister, is God calling you? If God is not calling you, if you're not feeling the conviction or the challenge, you need to talk to God about your heart. Okay? You need to talk to God about whether you have that communication, you're ready to serve Him. If you give God your heart, He will give you a mission. One thing when I read the Bible, a powerful truth is God believes in you. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins and rise from the dead before you were born because He believes in you in hopes that you will believe in Him and accept that gift of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin and eternal life. So today, the question is, do you believe in God? Do you believe in yourself? If so, accept God's gift of salvation. Accept God's calling to rise up to the challenge, to meet that burden, and say, here I am, send me. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You believe in us. You care about us. You love us. You've enabled us. You've empowered us. Father, I pray that we will look around this week and even today to see where You are working, to take interest in other people that we may meet their needs. I just pray, Father, that even though we may help people and not see the result or see the fruit, that we'll be faithful because You want to use us and You want us to bear fruit. And we may plant, maybe we'll plant God's Word, Your Word in their heart. Maybe we'll water them with love. Whatever we need to do, Father, make it clear to us. I pray my brothers and sisters will say, yes, God, I want to be used and I want to go with a good plan, a God-inspired plan. I want to talk to You about it. I want to commit to the work and go do the work. And maybe simply loving people and saying encouraging words to the people around us. Father, I pray that we believe in You. Father, if there's someone here today who needs to trust in You and accept the salvation You offer, I pray that they'll just believe in You finally. You believe in them and receive the salvation You offer through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We just worship You, Lord. We open our hearts to us. Touch our head. Touch our heart now that we may respond to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing. And if I can encourage you or pray with you, please come forward.